The date was Tuesday. The place was the internet. I was reading all sorts of things, and I stumbled across some Christmas lyrics. Christmas lyrics that, we're familiar with, but we're not quite familiar with because, they've been sung by children. Not quite right. And I wanted to share a couple of those with you this morning. We three kings of porridge and tar. Haste, haste to bring him lard, the babe, the son of Mary. You guys know that one? No? How about this one? Holy infant, so tender with smiles, sleep in heavenly peas. No? Okay, this one I really like. The cattle are bowling and the baby awakes. Okay. The hopes, this one must have been a child who grew up in a family of hunters because it says, the hopes and fears of all reindeers are met in me tonight. These all remind me of a little boy who drew a picture of a baby Jesus and his family in Sunday school. And the dad looks at it and says, I see Mary, I see Joseph, and I see the baby in the cradle, but who is this large snowman-shaped person standing over here, off to the side? Is that Frosty the Snowman? And he says, don't be silly, Dad. That's Round John Virgin. It's Christmas Eve, folks. We're trying to make it a little bit more jolly. We are going to look at how a 700-year-old prophecy was promised and found, or which is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, was fulfilled with absolute pinpoint precision when a virgin named Mary gave birth to Jesus on a silent night in Bethlehem. In Isaiah chapter 7, we're introduced to an evil king, and his name is Ahaz. And he was one of the most ungodly rulers to date, building a pagan altar in the temple area and sacrificing his own children on it to the god Moloch. The prophet Micah, Hosea, and Isaiah called Ahaz to repentance, but to no avail, because he had deliberately disobeyed God. His kingdom came under attack. With that as the context, we come to the text of one of God's most remarkable Christmas promises. A promise which one I'm sure each and every one of us is very familiar with. But apart from God's intervention, this promise is beautifully incomprehensible and biologically impossible. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says this, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, this prophecy looks ahead to an ultimate fulfillment 700 years later when a son would be born to a very specific virgin who travels to a town in the town of Bethlehem. So I want to look at this incredibly powerful promise kind of phrase by phrase this morning. We're going to do it a little bit quickly, but therefore. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, we should ask ourselves, what's it there for? And therefore means we need to go backwards and understand. In this case, it's a word of contrast, showing what God will do despite all of Ahaz's disobedience, despite all of the evil, despite all of the nasty, horrible things this king has done. God still remembers us. And therefore, the Lord himself. Now this is the name Adonai, which speaks of God's sovereignty. The reflexive pronoun himself tells us of this, that this promise comes from God, and he is the one who will fulfill it. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you. Now, the word you is in the plural, showing that God desires for everyone to respond to the gift that he will give. He will give you a sign. Now, this word sign is used 183 times in the Bible. It conveys a mark or a miracle. A sign often brought a message of wonder, a signal most often used to describe awe-inspiring events, and designed to communicate certainty, just like in Isaiah 38, which says, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised." Behold. The word behold is used to basically get our attention, to arrest our attention, to indicate the importance of what is about to be said. Behold. Behold. It could be translated as lo and behold, or hey, pay attention, look now. Well, God is about to do some incredible things. It's intended to be shocking. It's intended to be startling and surprising. What you're about to hear is not something you're expecting. Behold. And when used in Isaiah, behold always relates to something that will happen in the future. Behold the virgin. Now, the definite article means that God is referring to a particular woman. A particular woman who is a virgin. And this word virgin was used of a young, never married, morally pure woman. And I believe that even in the days of Isaiah, God had one single person in mind. God had in mind one specific teenager, a virgin named Mary, whom he had chosen to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Behold, the virgin will be with child. Now, this was no ordinary pregnancy, no ordinary birth. Ah, that was perfect. Thank you. She is going to give birth to a child. A virgin with a child would first of all, certainly stand out as a miraculous sign. But incidentally, in some medieval works of art, Mary is often pictured reading Isaiah 7:14 when Gabriel arrives to announce this news. Now, I have no idea what she was actually doing at that moment. It would have been an absolute miracle for her to actually have a copy of Isaiah 7:14 for her to read, being that she was not wealthy. But the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. This was an unplanned pregnancy for Mary. It was planned by God. He knew exactly what was going on, but she chose life because the Lord is the one who put that life in her womb. And as he still does today, God continues to bring about life. Now here's the thought. Ahaz sacrificed his own son to the god Moloch, while Mary gave birth to God's son, who sacrificed his own life in our place. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, this name Emmanuel means the strong God with us. The Hebrew word order emphasizes God's presence with us is God. That is the most literal translation of this name. With us is God. Another popular Christmas carol asks the question, what child is this? Well, my guess is Joseph, his first question was not what child is this, but whose child is this? And that's why he needed an explanation. And so an angel shows up. And we see the answer to the question in Matthew chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, flip there in Matthew chapter 1, starting at 21. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, when we slow down to think about Christmas, and I mean really think about it, we are forced to ask these questions. And only then can we begin to realize that Jesus is God for us, that he is God with us and God over us. So I want to ask those questions this morning. When we realize Jesus is God for us, we see that because God is for us, he forgives us. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's quite interesting that the angel didn't say to Joseph, like he did to Zechariah, she will bear you a son, because Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus. He couldn't say, she will bear you a son. The angel had to say, she will give birth to a son. It's not yours, Joseph. Those who knew him best in the gospel simply referred to him as Jesus, using that name some 600 times. Though other titles like Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus are also used, there's many others that he used of himself. But Jesus, or Jesus, is the Greek form of the Hebrew name translated as Joshua or Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. As our Savior, Jesus came to set us free from our depravity, to deliver us from the dominion of the devil, and to release us from the fear of death. Because we are sinners, we need a Savior. Sin basically is missing the mark of God's standard. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and deserve judgment. Not just any type of judgment, but God's judgment. A guy by the name of Jared Wilson writes this: all you have to do to qualify for the gospel is to be a sinner. We are born pre-qualified. The bar is set so low. The only way to miss out is to think yourself above it. On Tuesday evening, Jess and I, we were... Sorry, she doesn't know about this. We were out shopping, as we were coming home, I turned off of Portage Avenue at the light. It was yellowish orange. And as I turned, I noticed that flash. Merry Christmas. Now, I'm not entirely certain that was for me, because there was also someone going straight through the light. So I didn't say anything because, well, there was really no point at that point. I didn't think it was red, but perhaps it is. And now I await to see if the flash was for me or for someone else. If it is for me, then, well, I'll pay the ticket, right? But I am really hoping for the best, that it was for the other guy. Sorry, whoever the other guy is. You see, we all fall short, right? I didn't mean to. I thought it was going to be okay. And if it isn't, well, there's a price that needs to be paid. But we all fall short of the glory of God. Our infractions may seem small, but they are innumerable. Other times, our sins are embarrassing and evident to everybody. But God sent His Son, Jesus, to save us from our sins. And if we're ever going to understand the message and the meaning of Christmas, we must understand the mission of Christ. He came to save us from our sins. Every other religious system teaches that we've got to pay a price to get to God, either through performance, through penance, but only Christianity. Only in Christianity do we hear how God did everything that was needed to pay our fine for falling short. Because we're falling short of His glory. Because He is for us. He forgives us. We also must understand that Jesus is God with us. Because God is with us, He forbears with us. And I know that's not a very common word for us. He forbears with us. But verse 22 says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Details surrounding the birth of Jesus were predicted by the prophets, fulfilling prophecies made hundreds of years earlier. And this quote from Isaiah 7:14 shows when God makes a promise, He keeps His promise. The virgin will not only conceive, but she will also give birth to a son. And this shows the humanity of Jesus. And the next phrase shows that His deity, and they will call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, God is not some far-off, distant deity. Growing up, I actually viewed God as majestic and mighty and mad at me, because I wasn't a good kid. I always thought God was mad. It wasn't until I was 19 that I also learned that he's gracious and loving and near. Let me see if I can explain the focal point of Christmas. By means of the virgin birth, Jesus entered the world guiltless of the sin of Adam. Since he was born of Mary, he is truly human because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is free from the inherited sin handed down from Adam. Jesus is both the Son of Mary and the Son of God. Jesus is both an ordinary man, and as Emmanuel, he is extraordinary. He is the Son and the Savior, the Holy and the human, fully God and fully man. He is God with us, and he is God for us. Because he forbears and he forgives. Jesus came to die in our place as a full and final sacrifice for our sins. Emmanuel took on human flesh, lived the perfect life, and then died. He died as the only acceptable sacrifice. Stop and think about that. The only acceptable sacrifice. No other sacrifice could possibly come close. He did that for our sins, facing the full wrath of the Father's righteousness in our place. And in exchange, when we believe, we receive his righteousness, his substitutionary death, demonstrates the Father's love and satisfies his holy justice, resulting in the salvation of all who repent and receive him by faith. This is a wonderful gift that is freely available to anyone. And as Emmanuel, Jesus is fully able to stand in our place and take our punishment. He paid for our sins precisely because he had no guilt. He had no shame of his own. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This morning you can look into the manger and remember the one who was born without sin and committed no sin took the penalty of our sin so that we could stand before God as if we had no sin. My sins for his righteousness. That's the best gift exchange ever. Jesus is God for us, God with us, but he is also God over us. I want to go back to the lyrics. What child is this? The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King. You see, we see how Joseph enthroned Christ. In verse 24, we read, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." You see, Joseph didn't just take notes. Joseph didn't just say, "Ah, what a wonderful dream. Man, that was weird, but that was really cool." No, he didn't do that. He treated the Lord as his king, even at the cost of his reputation. He publicly identified with Jesus, even when he knew it was going to cost him socially. I'm going to take Mary, who's pregnant with someone else's baby, and she's going to be my wife. We were engaged. Everybody's going to think it's mine. All of the social, in those cases, in those days, out of wedlock, that was a bigger deal. Shouldn't be, but it was a huge deal back then. And the reality is, when we know what God wants us to do, we must go and do it, just like Joseph did. So how do we enthrone him? In other words, how do we treat Jesus as king? We do what he says. We take him at his word, even when it's going to cost us. There's another song. I've been listening to a lot of Christmas music this last week, but intrigued by the song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary knew a lot, didn't she? The reality is, we know that Mary knew that she was a virgin who would conceive. She was troubled. She was afraid. She was uncertain, but she also heard these words in Luke chapter 1. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary, this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? I'm pretty sure these words gave it away. Three times in this passage is stated that she is a virgin. Well, she didn't know everything. She knew enough to obey. As we see in Luke chapter 1, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. See, Mary had settled the fact that God is sovereign, that nothing is impossible with him, that she needed saving, and that she was his obedient servant. Just like us, we all must get to that point where we can say, because you're God and I am not, I will obey and do what you say. That's where our heart needs to be. My guess is that since you're here this morning or watching online, that you know enough to know what Christmas is. In fact, you know enough to obey him as well. Someone has said most of us are educated way beyond our level of obedience. Jesus is none other than God for us. He is God with us. He is God over us. Jesus came down to lift us up, reversing the curse of Adam's sin. He not only is able to forgive your sins, but the moment you ask for forgiveness, he will faithfully do so. And with that forgiveness, he will call you his child. He will bring you into his family. For all who believe are a part of the family of God. I'm really not sure where you guys are all at today, but I hope that you will understand that love left heaven for you. Love came down for you so that when you feel alone, remember Jesus is with you as one who forbears. He will hang on to you. When you feel lost, remember that Jesus is for you as one who forgives. He hung on the cross for you. And when you feel confused, remember that Jesus is above you as one who has first place. And he calls you to a life of obedience. At the cradle, we see that God is with us. At the cross, we see that he is for us. At the resurrection and the ascension, we see that he is above us. For those who are born again, when he returns, he will come and get us. Now, when Jesus was a toddler, the wise men showed up. They were bearing gifts, and they gave Jesus three famous gifts, gifts of gold and frankincense, and that there's something else. I know there's myrrh. There's more? Never mind. He brought these things, but have you ever wondered why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Let's think about this for a moment. Myrrh. Myrrh was a spice used for burials, indicating that Jesus was born to die because he is God for us. Jesus left heaven to come to earth to do the one thing that he couldn't do in heaven, which was to die. So he came here for that very purpose, to die for our sins, because he loves us, because he is God for us. Then we've got frankincense. Frankincense was that incense offered in prayer to God, showing that Jesus is God with us. See, every single moment that you are in prayer, you are in communion with God. And the amazing thing about this is that God never has a busy signal. He never lets it go to voicemail. He is always there for us. Just like that poem, Footprints, Jesus never leaves us. And in those times when we only see one set of footprints in the sand, it's because Jesus is God with us. But that final gift, that gift of gold. Gold was the present given to a king, demonstrating that Jesus is God over us. He is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And even though he is God over us, he is calling you by name. He wants relationship with you. He wants you to surrender your life to him. Will you give yourself right now? I mean, we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and we typically want to give presents to the birthday person, in this case, the birthday boy. What better gift to give him than your surrendered life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you had this plan. We're grateful to you, Lord Jesus, that you left heaven, that you came down to this earth for us. I'm grateful that you loved us so much to do this, that you have come, that love has come. And Father, this morning I pray that each and every one of us, that we would give to you our surrendered lives. Father, some of us have done this for the very first time. Perhaps there's some of us here who did it a while ago, years, decades. But Father, I pray that today each and every one of us surrenders our lives to you afresh. You, Lord Jesus, are my Lord and Savior. A desire to serve you and obey you. A desire to share who you are with those around us. Father, may our words and our deeds declare to everyone that we encounter, family, friends, or strangers, that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. This I pray in Jesus' precious name.